tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. As always, I hope you are copacetic at the least and fabulous at the most. Today, we're going to talk about three inflammatory foods that you find in practically every packaged food. My students are, we're still in nutrition. I spent a good deal of time dealing with nutrition in my introductory medical class over here in San Antonio. And we're covering, right now we have a contest going on, which I'll cover in a second. But right now, we're talking about processed foods, and the kids need to pick a food item to do a presentation on, in which they analyze the food item for its nutrition based on its macronutrient profile. So the fat, the carbs, the protein it has, and the fiber, and the sugar, and all that stuff. And then they have to give it a grade, and then they have to give it a grade based on its ingredient list, so the toxins that are in it. And I started thinking, it's like, there are three ingredients that are practically found in every processed food. And I thought it'd be fun just to do a quickie. We're going to do a little quickie today, a little quickie number 65, to talk about these three inflammatory foods. So let's get started. After listening to that music, I feel like I've just been to a 90s rave where people are dancing with glow sticks and you get the address at 3 a.m. and it's in some abandoned warehouse in Lisbon, Portugal, and you're taking acid. Of course, I've never taken acid. Either way, the first ingredient, and these are in no particular order, the first ingredient, of course, is going to be the universal, ubiquitous flour. Flour is found in practically every packaged food, right? Flour is in cookies, crackers, cakes, brownies, granola bars, energy bars, Nutri-Grain bars, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Now, flour, of course, is milled down wheat, typically. I mean, you can't have almond flour, and we do have a podcast episode on the non-flour alternatives, which is the best, and I review them. But as a whole, when we talk about flour, we're talking about wheat flour. And I mentioned to the students, you know, the classic definition of a processed food is that we get something that's whole food and has actual nutrients and turn it into a frankenfood. So ketchup, tomato becomes ketchup. Wheat, the wheat has problems, becomes flour. And so, because if you look at wheat, the bran is actually good. It's got fiber, but when we mill it down, and when we mill down the wheat to flour, it loses a lot of its nutrient base. So, what are the problems with flour? Well, of course, flour, along with rye and barley, have gluten, and so you're dealing with the gluten sensitivity. Gluten is an anti-nutrient. And so it can cause a lot of digestive issues. It can cause a lot of nervous system issues like brain fog. It can trigger autoimmune problems. And the list goes on and on. Now, there are people who do have celiac disease where they absolutely cannot eat anything with gluten, but the majority of us do have some sort of sensitivity, and either we know it or we don't know it. You feel it, you know, you get the bloating and the brain fog and all that, or you can be perfectly fine, but it's still causing some sort of problem with your body, and it might be something very minute. It might just be disrupting your microbiome, or it could be causing headaches, migraines, autoimmune problems, and so forth. But flour is, I would say, out of these three, flour is probably the most benign out of the three. But again, it's ubiquitous, and it's practically every packaged food. I mean, flour is everything. It's in bread, for Christ's sake. It's in bagels. It's in English muffins. I can't forget that. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So a nice alternative to flour would be trying to find something that is nutrient dense and that you can still make tasty packaged foods that doesn't have gluten. So perhaps like oats, rice, and so forth. So again, most of the cereals, a lot of the cereals have wheat in it. So if you want to try non-wheat cereal, there are cereals that have rice in it, like Rice Chex. And then of course, oats, you can get granola that don't have oats. But flour is the first one. Let's go back to Lisbon. All right, the second ingredient that you find in about 80% of all packaged foods is going to be some form of sugar, azúcar, as they say. And I really don't know how they say it in French. I need to ask Edmund, who's my friend who is he's a calculus teacher at the school I teach at. And the French teacher quit the first week of school, and he's like, you know, Albert, he calls me Albert, of course. He's like, you know, I know French. And I'm like, well, Ed, you know, just go pass the certification test, become a French teacher. They really need you, because he's fluent in French and German and Spanish. He's a polyglot. And so he takes the test over the summer. And then lo and behold, he gets the French job, which fits him well. But going off topic a little, sorry about that. Sugar. So sugar is, of course, perhaps more ubiquitous than flour is. So sugar, where is sugar found? Pretty much it's in the air, right? Pretty much it's everywhere. It's invisible. It's like the midichlorians and the Phantom Menace, going back to Star Wars 1. They're just everywhere. Or the Thetians, if you want to believe in Scientology, they just exploded over a volcano and the Thetians inhabit all of us. They're everywhere. Sugar's in every possible food item that is not, you know, meat. But even a lot of those meats, like beef jerky, are cured with some sugar. Same for Spam, because again, we love that sweetness. We like that bliss point, that combination of fat, sugar, and salty. So unless, again, you're eating unsalted nuts and vegetables and beef, you're pretty much getting everything with sugar. So again, all the middle aisles, the same food items that I just mentioned, cookies, crackers, brownies, and so forth. But let's just throw in, of course, the condiments. We did a review on condiments on the website. The majority of condiments are going to have sugar, especially if you look at the barbecue sauce and the honey mustard and the ketchup. Of course, mustard typically doesn't. That's why mustard is great. So what is the sugar? Well, the sugar could be from cane sugar. It could be from sugar beets. It could be from, typically in the processed foods, you know, we should do one of these family feud styles that I do in class, where I'll have like four blanks. I'm like, what are the top four sugars? You know, and get the kids to raise their hand and ask. And so, of course, high fructose corn syrup is the typical sweetener that you find in the large majority of sodas, but also in a lot of the packaged foods. If not high fructose corn syrup, it'll be corn syrup itself, or maltodextrin, or dextrose, or malt syrup, or the 35 different code words that they have for the various forms of sugar. Also, you can throw in the more natural sugars, which would be like agave and honey and syrup and all their byproducts. But sugar is everywhere. I wanted to mention to you the contest that I have with my kids right now. So they have a contest each class where they have to bring in, and I divide the class into groups of three, and they have to bring in an item with the most sugar per serving. And the person who brings by Friday the item with the most sugar per serving, that group gets extra credit on the next test. And so, of course, they're perusing their pantries. They're looking at all the sodas to see where it is. And they are astonished. You can find drinks that have literally 90 grams of sugar. And the serving size is not like a gallon, okay? It's not like a gallon of Sunny D. It's like the typical 32-ounce, 16-ounce Fantas or stuff like that. Hopefully none of my students are listening to this podcast, because I don't want to help them out here. But sugar is everywhere. It is everywhere. And honestly, we're only supposed to get 10% of our calories from sugar, which breaks down to roughly, on a 2,000 calorie diet, 50 grams a day. I hate to tell you, but unless you're like hardcore keto, you are not doing that. None of us are doing that. It is something to endeavor and aspire for, but alas, we are not doing it. So again, sugar isn't everything, right? Candy bars, candy, like the Skittles variety, just everything has sugar. Okay, and what do we know about sugar? Well, it's pretty much linked to every malady on the planet. It feeds tumor growth. It's directly related to a higher rate of getting cancer. You're looking at all the cardiovascular diseases have a link to a high sugar diet because it puts the body in a state of inflammation. It leads to LDL, plaque buildup. You're looking at diabetes and insulin resistance, so many problems. Of course, the rise in obesity, which leads to other problems as well. So sugar is related to everything. Yet another reason we need to limit it. Actually, when I listen to this music, I think it's more like Stuttgart in 1980s industrial Germany. Okay, and the third thing that you're going to find in about 80% of packaged foods, and let's see if you can guess what it is before I say it. So we got flour, we got sugar, and the third one's going to surprise you. It's not going to be monosodium glutamate or food dyes. Of course, most of these packaged foods have these things, but it's actually going to be some sort of vegetable oil. Vegetable oil is the big shocker. Promise you, there it's in everything. It's an emulsifier. They need to put vegetable oil in there to make the stuff stick because the flour is going to provide kind of this quote-unquote substance, the form to the food. Think of like a Nutri-Grain bar. And then the sugar, of course, is going to provide the sweetness. But you need the vegetable oil to keep it all intact. And so when I mean vegetable oil, it could be in many forms. Typically, it's going to be soybean oil, or it's going to be corn oil, or it's going to be palm oil, or it's going to be sunflower oil, or it's going to be, you know, canola oil, which is probably the most omnipresent one out of all these oils. If you're lucky, it won't have any of those, and it'll actually have maybe coconut oil, or maybe olive oil in the form of hummus, but even most hummus eyes are going to have soybean oil and they even have olive oil in it. But the vegetable oils are highly inflammatory, the industrial grade vegetable oils. And if you have not listened to my episode on vegetable oils and fats, which I think is around MPE number 30 or so, I definitely recommend you listen to it because vegetable oils, at least in the industrial grade ones, which are the ones that they put in all of our food, are highly inflammatory to the body. A lot of this goes back to Ansel Keys. He was the guy who kind of pushed that meat was bad for us and that was linked to cholesterol and that we need to eat more grains and grain byproducts. So because of him and his collusion with big oil, big vegetable oil, they started making us cook instead of lard and butter and so forth with vegetable oils, with corn oils and so forth. And the problem with these is that they're very high in omega-6 fats. Now, omega-6 fats are not necessarily bad if they're in a good ratio with omega-3. And omega-3 is probably best known in being in fish and in certain nuts. But the problem is you got to have a higher ratio of omega-3s over omega-6s. But because of the ubiquity or omnipresence of vegetable oils, we are eating typically 4 to 5 times more omega-6s than we are omega-3s. Because vegetable oil is in everything. It's in everything I've already mentioned, cookies and crackers and brownies and honey buns and ding dongs and hummus, and pretty much every processed food is going to have some sort of oil. So these omega-6 oils, and there's also trans fats in these vegetable oils, but the omega-6 oils, these polyunsaturated fats, they lead to chronic inflammation of our arteries and our veins. They lead to plaque buildup in our arteries and veins. And so they increase your chances of getting all of those cardiovascular maladies like strokes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol and myocardial infarcts or heart attacks or aneurysms and aortic ruptures and all these things. So vegetables is probably the least known out of these three as being bad for us, but it's very bad for us. So what are some alternatives? Try to find vegetables that are not as inflammatory. So we'll talk about avocado oil, coconut oil, olive oil. Again, we've talked about cooking in these things. You got to cook them at a very low heat. Go back to that episode on Teflon. But these are some alternatives. So let's go back to Dieter from Sprockets and his industrial music. Okay, so an ending. The three things that we can find in practically every processed food is going to be flour, some form of sugar, because there's, you know, hundreds of different forms of sugar, literally, and then some sort of vegetable oil. Now, are there some honorable mentions? Sure. If these are packaged processed foods, I guarantee you there's going to be some sort of preservative in there. It could be potassium bromate. It could be sodium bromate. It could be, they typically don't put nitrates and nitrites into the processed food. It could be TBHQ. It could be sodium citrate. There's just this host of preservatives that they put in these foods. Like I tell the kids right before Halloween, it's like, enjoy the candy bar we're about to eat because it was probably made a year ago. Okay, so because it doesn't get bad because they put all these preservatives in it. So that'd be an honorable mention. Of course, food dyes would be an honorable mention as well because most of these foods, they at least put caramel color to give it a brown color. So that would be definitely an honorable mention as well. But definitely the big three are going to be the flour, the oil, and the sugar. So if you don't believe me, guys, go to your pantry right now. Now, of course, tortilla chips, for example, are going to have the oil and they're going to have corn or potato and they're not going to have necessarily sugar. Though even like if you look at Cheetos or Doritos, they do have trace amounts of sugar. But tortilla chips wouldn't. Nuts wouldn't because that's a natural paleo type food. I'm talking about the Frankenfoods, the foods that you would not find in nature. And of course, you know, you wouldn't find tortilla chips in nature, but I think you understand what I'm trying to tell you, that the typical Frankenfoods are going to have these three things. So as always, guys, please go to our website, Naturopathic Earth. Check out our three podcast series, Confessions of an Obese Child, NP Radio, of course, and then Kate's Apothecary. Please post a review on these. I know Kate's planning to do her episode sometime this week. We'll just call it Mindfulness, fill in the blank, depending on what day of the week it's going to be published. And lastly, I want to mention that Alex is the winner of our raffle for a review. We appreciate his review, and he'll be getting the free essential oil blend. So guys, until next time, take care, God bless, be safe, and go check out your pantries.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.